for hour two of Wilde and Tausch, the 10 o'clock hour, if you will. And Jason is down. Brian Gutekunst doing his pre-draft presser, where my guess is he's going to try to say nothing while talking, which is not always the easiest trait to have. We do this on this show from time to time. But a couple things. I'll be fascinated if Jason gets anything out of Goody, and if Goody is kind of open and forthright. I just don't – there's no reason for him to be open and forthright. We're 4 days away from the opening round of the draft. The Green Bay Packers sit at 25. Brian Gutekunst probably has a really good idea. I'm always fascinated, too, because we see that 30 pre-draft people that they bring in. And I am always convinced that Green Bay, if they really love somebody, they're not going to even talk to them. They're going to do the old ignore and not let the representatives of these guys use them as leverage. So I think Lucas Van Ness last year, do not believe he was in for a workout or a meeting. I could be wrong, but it seems as if Green Bay has a little pattern. We saw that Cooper DeJean was not, whether or not he'll be there. There's a lot of intrigue over who it's going to be, but there's not that, oh, God, we need to hit moment. So we're going to find out. We'll get some good information from this presser, which, you know, I think Jason will be back at 10:30. So in the meantime, you know, we can't do the show without Jason. Jesse, you have collected some Where's Wilde clips, and I don't know if some of them will be from yesterday, but Jason, as always, gives us more and better info when he's not on the show or if he's calling in as a guest to Wilde and Tausch.
Since he often saves his best material for other shows,
if there's something difficult we need to talk about, let's have the conversation.
We're bringing the other shows to us.
I would be very leery if I was a Packers fan.
Or are we?
Tausch takes a lot of days, man.
It's time to play Where's Wilde?
Takes a lot of days, man. Jason does often save his best material for other shows, so let's find out what he had to say. Tausch, here is Where's Wilde, clip number one.
You got to end up in the right place with the right opportunities. And, you know, Tausch doesn't particularly enjoy it when we talk about him, unlike Jesse, who always wants us to talk about him. And
burn.
When we started talking about Tausch's career, my argument about him is that he met the moment when the moment was available.
Where's Wilde?
I took a stray in this first clip. That's a little rude.
Yeah, you're... I think that was on the, it sounds like the, I can't believe Jason was this good on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin yesterday.
You would think. But no, that was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Friday morning, weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. So he was talking about you, even though you don't like being talked about.
Yeah, and listen, I'll talk about myself when I feel like it's pertinent to the conversation. I don't need everything to be revolved around old T. Now, if I have an opinion on something, blah, blah, blah. But as far as career arcs go, and with the draft, I was incredibly fortunate. And every player that gets picked, obviously the team, if you're going to use one of your 10, 8, sometimes I think the Bears have 5 or 6 picks this year. If you're going to be a draft pick used, you saw this with Ted and with Goody. They don't want to get rid of their draft picks. But every player is going to get an opportunity. And some guys get that opportunity, like for me, right out of the gates. Others, it takes, you know, we see this with Sean Ryan. It took him 2 years to get his opportunity. Whether or not that was because he wasn't ready, or the moment wasn't, John Runyon was playing too well, whatever that case might be, if it's an injury, like in my case, I got in there because guys got injured. You have to be ready to go. And for 90% of the people in this draft, it's going to come down to, are you ready for the moment when it comes for you? And how will you handle it when it comes? And how are you going to handle it when you get kicked in the teeth? Because there's 10% of the NFL, they're going to play and they're going to be studs because they're just that good. And then there's 90% of us that are chomping and chasing and will go to 15 teams and will go to the UFL and to the XFL and to the USFL and to World League of Europe. And you just hope that at some point things line up and it gives you a chance. That's probably 80 to 90% of the NFL. I fell into that category along with pretty much every pick that happens after the third round.
Which rookie last year do you think made the most of his opportunity with the Packers? Was it Jaden Reed?
Well,
Vicks?
It's a great question. I'm not going to say a rookie, but I will say Rashid Walker, I think, did the most with the opportunity.
It's a good pick.
Here's a guy that other players, Caleb, and you know, you had Yash. You had a bunch of guys that were in the same position, opportunity-wise. And what she did was, I'm not giving this up. I don't know what I'm getting. You know, late round pick, if you go out and you kind of pee down your leg, they move on real quick. That's kind of what I thought. That's why he's a sixth round pick. That's why he's a seventh round pick. Move on. He wouldn't let him do it. So that's why I think he really jumped in. And last year was such an aberration for rookies because Musgrave and Kraft got opportunities. Reed got an opportunity. Wicks got an opportunity. And you can call Melton, if you want to put him in that category, got an opportunity. All of these guys got opportunities where normally you're not going to see 3 to 4 to 5 offensive rookies get that much of an opportunity. And that's why, you know, if you're a late-round pick or a free agent this year and you're a wideout or you're a tight end, you're going to look at Green Bay and their representatives are going to look at Green Bay and say, they give opportunities, but look at where these guys are. Young players, ascending players, are we? Because the question always when you don't know if you're going to get drafted and you're talking to your team, the question is always, what kind of opportunity am I going to get and can I make this team? And last year, every free agent that didn't get drafted is going to look at it and say, oh, heck yeah, Green Bay's got tons of opportunities. Now this year, I don't know, Jim. I think the opportunity pool is going to be a lot shallower than what it's been in the past.
Let's move on. You haven't gotten one of these right in a very long time. Where
well,
will
in they? Fairness, you set me up for failure here.
Well.
You did.
I did.
You send
well,
me
I
a
guess
note.
I make the game, yeah.
You send me a note basically telling me how great this appearance was that Jason had and that we're going to go over some of the commentary. And then right out of the gates, you tell me that it's not Sunday Karma. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I guess I could have given you a little bit more of a layup on that first. That's my bad. It's fun, though. Here's clip number two.
They could very well go day one and day two with defensive players and an offensive lineman or two, and then add running back, another tight end perhaps if one falls that they like. But, yeah, I think we could be going into day three without a single running back, tight end, wide receiver taken on offense, and that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Where's Wilde?
I thought he wasn't in the prediction game. Here he is predicting what the Packers are going to do on the first
three rounds
of the
draft.
It's
almost like a lot of the stuff he says is like Goody. He's got a lot of Goody in him, doesn't he? Wilde's got a lot of Goody in him. I'll say Rutledge and Hamilton, 4-6 in Madison.
Oh, Tosh.
What?
This was on Sunday Karma yesterday with Craig Karmazin.
Yeah,
I'm not falling for your traps. Come on.
So I think it's interesting. His commentary was really interesting because I don't think from a wide receiver standpoint, I agree. Tight end standpoint, let's say Bowers from Georgia drops to 25 and Goody has him as a top 10 pick. You take him. I don't care that you have two young guys that you love. Value is too high to not go. And again, we saw this last year with Musgrave, lacerates a kidney. You just don't know how guys are going to hold up. But I think if you're looking at it from a need standpoint and just how the board falls, unless there's some ridiculous value that Goody's getting, it's a weaker class for running backs this year. No first-round running back on any mocks I've seen. So while I think running back should be a high priority for Goody in this draft and getting some young guy that is explosive and that can play, I think it's going to be tough sledding, and I don't think you necessarily want to use one of those first Thursday and Friday picks on a running back, even though it's a position I feel like, especially with Josh Jacobs and with A.J. Dillon, I do think you need someone to come in and be ready to take the reins over that's an explosive home run hitter, Aaron Jones type. That would be great, but I think Saturday is probably the day that they're going to address that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the draft tracker here. Jonathan Brooks of Texas is the highest-ranked running back. He is 72 overall of the potential draft picks. Braylon Allen is the third-ranked running back at 101.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Braylon Allen, I think from the Packers' standpoint, he's a big back. We don't necessarily know speed-wise where he's going to fall, but very productive player at the University of Wisconsin. Big physical dude. The draft for running backs this year, Garendo from Louisville, who obviously was a Badger, that's somebody that you sense Green Bay could have some intrigue with.
Ran out of music. I'm going to bring it back after we hear clip number three in Where's Wildy.
I believe there are things that are conspiracies that we have not gotten to the bottom of. But if you make everything into a conspiracy, then the things that you can legitimately question get lumped into all the other crazy things you say, and then we can't have conversations about the handful of things that may actually be reasonable to say, no, this is not right. There is a conspiracy that has gone on here. And that, to me, is where he has gotten.
Where's Wildy?
I wonder who he's talking about, Tausch.
Waddle and Sylvie. I guess Waddle and Sylvie.
So the way the game is played, it's where he shares his best material on the ESPN Wisconsin airwaves. Waddle and Sylvie is afternoon drive on ESPN Chicago. Although we are friends with them, that would not qualify for this.
All right, I'm going to say the hit digital-only show, Mr. Irrelevant. I think it was Schroffy, obviously, making a big move. Jason giving him some of his best stuff. Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Schroff.
It's a great guess. I never thought you would guess it.
Oh, it's wrong?
Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, it was on the Homer Hour with Homer talking conspiracies late last week. Homer Hour 5 to 6, 94.5 ESPN and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. This is talking about one of the latest bits of the news cycle featuring former Packers quarterback and your teammate Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Aaron Rodgers part of this, I am amazed and shocked on how much Packer fans don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. Like, it is, I would bet right now if you look at numbers, streaming, and Twitter and everything else, Aaron Rodgers, click. I ain't going to play the game. Till he's playing and how he plays, I think everything else, I think Packer fans are rejoicing that this is no longer part of the dialogue on our show and on other shows as far as the Aaron Rodgers part of this goes. Am I still super intrigued to see how he comes back from his Achilles? Absolutely I am. Absolutely.
I wonder what it's going to be like when he actually plays this year. And let's assume he stays healthy and actually plays a full season. Because last year, there was a ton of hype around that. Like, I remember, like, I was so looking forward to that Monday night game, Jets-Bills. And it was going to be just the biggest deal that he was taking snaps for the New York Jets in a meaningful football game, and we're watching this whole season play out, and the bar in Milwaukee that had the specials for when the Jets were going to lose, all that stuff, and here we go. He's out. Now it's just been all noise and noise and noise, and everybody's irritated by it. Do you think there will still be a fascination with him as a football player once he hits the field in September?
It will not be, obviously, as intense as last year would have been. And the biggest reason for that is because Jordan Love is good. And just like the Brett Favre component of this back in 09 when he was with the Vikings, and obviously with the Jets before, the Vikings in 09, that could not have been more vitriolic and passionate on both sides. Then Aaron Rodgers emerges, and once we defeated Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings up at Lambeau, and then demoralized them later on, and they fell apart, and we go and win a championship, nobody gives two rips. The fact that Jordan Love played as well as he did and Aaron Rodgers was nowhere to be found outside of McAfee, I think that took all of the juice out of that. And unless the New York Jets come to Lambeau, which is not going to happen, I think most of us have said, we're moving forward. We're rolling. So until that matchup happens, I think the mystique and the intrigue of how Aaron Rodgers does, while you still have a little bit of a periphery on it, I think it's mostly DOA when it comes to those storylines.
Do you think, like, I mean, we were talking at one point last year about how every game would be on in the TV market. And remember, this happened when Favre played for the Jets, that the local CBS affiliates or Fox affiliate, whenever the Jets were on and could be on television, even if it was up against the Packers, that game was on in the Wisconsin markets. Do you think that will be the same next year with the Jets games? Like, if they're playing the Dolphins in week 3, noon kickoff, up against the Packers.
Well,
you don't think they're going to put that one on?
Depends if the Jets and Dolphins are both good.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Like, if
I do, and my answer is I do not believe so. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers will still move the needle nationally, especially early. But if the Jets stink and they're 4-8, it is going to be outside of New York and probably on ESPN National. I just don't think it's going to be much of a nothing burger.
I don't know if they sell nothing burgers at Quick Trip, Tausch, but I do know they sell a lot of great stuff, including ice cream.
Oh, great ice cream. You know I love that turtle pecan sundae. Ooh, little chocolate-covered things. It's fantastic. But it's baseball season. It's time for me and for you to take a quick trip to the ballpark. For every $200 you spend at Quick Trip with Quick Rewards, you'll earn a free ticket to a Brewers game of your choice. And the Brewers are humming. Sweep City USA down in St. Louis. I think what second best record in all of baseball is what's going on. Everything's humming. And Quick Trip wants to get you down to a game. That's right. Big savings and free Brewers tickets. Visit the Quick Rewards app, and it's simple. Click on the Fan Zone button on the app's home screen to opt in, and you can start redeeming your tickets today. You can redeem up to 6 Brewers tickets at a time. And who doesn't want to go to a Brewers game for free? And it's as simple as using your Quick Rewards. Get these Brewers points from Quick Reward in addition to Quick Rewards visit. You can double the points and double up your happiness. Blackout dates and upgrade fees may apply. See quicktrip.com/ballpark to get to a Brewers game for free with your Quick Rewards app.
You're doing a great job running the show. Would you like to ask for our trivia caller now while Jason's still away at Goody's press conference? Or you need
how many draft picks? How many draft picks do the Green Bay Packers have?
Oh gosh,
in this upcoming draft?
I don't actually know.
What do you mean you don't know? You're the producer for radio show. You don't know that?
I don't.
Let's say 11. I think it's 11. I don't know for sure, but let's go with 11.
All right.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Caller 11. For the potential of having 11 draft picks in this draft coming up on Thursday night. We'll look for caller 11.
It is
to
11.
Play Wildy and Tausch trivia. Give Jesse a call, harass him a little bit. He'll get us caller 11. We will do trivia next on Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Tausch rolling along in the 10 o'clock hour. And Jesse, I got to admit, I don't host the show often by myself. And I don't want to. But I love the fact that we're doing trivia with Jason being gone. And I don't even give out the number. I don't know the number. I didn't ask you for the number. I just said caller 11 because there's 11 draft picks, which Joshy, our great producer down in Milwaukee, verified there's 11 picks. Although I just heard Goody tell one of the reporters He wants 14 picks, which I think is complete BS. I think he wants to be more selective. I don't think he wants to get to 14 picks. I would be shocked if he actually gets to 14 picks. But we did get caller 11, even though I never once said the phone number.
How about that?
I think that's impressive.
I did flash it on the video stream, so I don't know if maybe Ace in Mount Horeb is a video streamer and he found it there, or if he's just an avid fan enough where he knows it at this point. But nicely done either way.
All right. Well, Ace, thank you for taking on the onus of calling in, even though you didn't have the number. You've been a great trivia contestant in the past.
I'm just cruising in the car, baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, so, Ace, how was the weekend? What'd you do this weekend? Anything fun?
The weekend was good. It was cold on Saturday. I went up to the farmer's market, cruised around there. It was all right, a little chilly. Yesterday helped
What's
the neighbor
your go-to?
Out with some lawn work.
What's your go-to farmer's market item?
Oh, I got to stop and get a donut. You know, at what's the one popular place? The bread.
You don't have to give out any free advertising. Hey, it's no free advertising.
Bread.
That's okay. I just was wondering if you went asparagus,
you know,
mushroom,
about.
But I do. Yeah, you got the old sweet tooth with the donut, which is always great.
I always love getting like one of those little like chocolate chip cookie bars, like a lot of the little individually packed, like one of the little sweet treat to carry around and eat quick.
I like that cheese bread. How about that cheese bread? The hot, spicy cheese bread? That's fantastic.
That's what I'm talking about, Josh.
Atta, baby. All right, Ace. That's what I'm talking about that you're talking about. Let's get to some trivia. I have no idea. Jesse, what did you do this week? And are you doing this? Did Tyler say to heck with you guys?
I'm back. My suspension is up. My suspension is up, and I'm back. I thought about going Pirates right away because the Brewers are playing the Pirates, but 4 days of Pirates games, we're going to have a lot
to pick
from.
That's a lot of Pirates.
So we're going sports weekend recap as is customary today.
Okay, Ace, so we have the sports weekend recap, and I will hit you with this question. Which NHL team?
Go for it, Big T.
Which? What's
Big,
that?
Big T called. Go for it, Big T.
Oh, all right. Which NHL team, which shares its nickname with an NFL team, scored 7 goals in its Game 1 playoff win on Sunday? Is it the Jets? Is it the Oilers, or is it the Washington team? That's not funny, though.
Oh, man.
Funny about that.
Let's go with the Jets.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. You nailed it. Good start, Ace. I don't want to say anything crazy here, but...
Bring it.
This is the equivalent of a 1-2-3 first inning, and you want
but Ace wants it. Ace wants that smoke.
I mean, I do it all the
time.
So
let's give Ace that smoke.
Ground ball out to second to start the game, and you say, all right, 26 outs to a perfect game. Question number two, Ace. All 8 series of the first round of the NBA playoffs played game 1 over the weekend. What was the better seed / home team's record in those 8 games? So home teams in the first game ones of every NBA playoff series, what was their overall record? Was it 6-2, 7-1, or a perfect 8-0?
I think it was a perfect 8-0.
You would be correct.
Yeah, baby.
It wouldn't really be noteworthy if they hadn't gone perfect. 8-0, the home teams.
Right.
And the narrowest margin of victory, the Oklahoma City Thunder in the final game on Sunday night. The rest of them... A lot of blowouts in game ones over the weekend.
Perfect.
I was a little worried about the Bucks yesterday, even with the 30-point lead.
Yeah? Yeah, I think everybody that thinks it's going to be some kind of cakewalk, I think it's crazy, but most of us think this is going to be a grinder. Last one.
I'm with you, Big T.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy, with a 14-6 record, has the third best record through the first 20 games as a manager in Brewers franchise history. Which former Brewers manager ranks number 1 on that list? Wow, tough question. Is it Harvey Keene, Ron Renicki, or Tom Treblehorn?
Oh, jeez. Let's go. Had been probably that 87 team, I would guess. So let's go with Treblehorn.
Oh,
are you showing everybody on the video stream, Tausch? What is that?
You got it. Correctamundo, Ace. Tom's treble horn.
Perfect week so far.
Perfect week and a perfect. So I always said that the Giannis Antetokounmpo Brewers jersey, whether it was last year's baby blue or this year's white jersey, is the best giveaway. I have here 1987 Tom's treble horn, which might be one of the best namesake giveaways of all time. And the correct answer to question three today on Will Do You Talk.
They gave those away to everybody that came to a game just to yell into?
I'm guessing that's probably what happened, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Tom's treble horn.
So you're telling me I get a treble horn jersey for getting this one right?
Oh, you should. Yeah, I don't know what's all in that prize pack. I'm not sure what, if Jesse drew last week or if he'll draw on Friday if you win, but we will let you know. Ace, great job getting all three. That's four entries for the Aceinator out there in Mount Horeb. Thanks, as always, Ace, for giving us a call.
All right.
Aceinator.
Thanks, Big T. Thanks, Jesse.
You got it.
The Aceinator.
Yeah, what did you want me to call it?
Just Ace is a nickname in its own. I don't think we need to re-nickname Ace.
So you think his name is like Tom, but they call him Ace?
Yes. I don't know what his
name
is.
I think his name is Ace.
He just gave me Ace off the air, so I can't even say with confirmation, like, I know his name's not Ace. It very well could be Ace. I don't know.
There's plenty of people's name are Ace. And I'll tell you this, Ace just got three for three, four entries. And if Ace or anybody else is looking for a little extra spending cash, Fortrea has you covered with a couple of different studies for you to grab some cash. Healthy men. Ages 18 to 50, BMI of 18 to 32. Study involves one stay of 8 to 15 nights. A little variance here. Get a little variance in your Fortrea clinical
up
study.
Up to 15
compensation
nights.
Also varies from $4,853 to $7,772 for your time and participation. You can refer a friend and receive another $300 per qualified referral. Another study, if you don't like all that variance, you want something a little more, ba-boom, healthy men and women of non-childbearing potential, ages 18 to 60, BMI of 18.5 to 30. This study, one stay, 11 nights with two follow-ups. Grab yourself $6,500 for your time and participation. Go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com. All right, so Jason, I think, is wrapping up the presser with the Gutenator up at Lambeau. I'm sure he's going to have some fascinating insights as far as what Goody said about this upcoming draft. He's got that. I'm also super intrigued by some other NFC North news that is going on with a team that some are saying is the best position for a young quarterback to be in, including the Green Bay Packers, which I think is crazy talk. We will hit that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
I'm back. God, you are good, man. Please stop working on. I know you're always looking to improve. You're all about improvement. But I need you to not try and do like the ins and outs and stuff. If you start doing that stuff, I'm going to have no role here, and then I'm going to be doing like overnights or something. So good stuff from Goody and good stuff from you. A couple of things jumping out.
Yeah, I did make one screw up, which you would never do.
Good.
If you're going to do trivia, you have to give people the phone number. And I'm not going to put it on Jesse because I was doing not only all the content but also the ins and outs.
Oh, geez.
And the trivia contestants and finding out what draft number how many picks we have, which is 11, although Goody wants 14, which, by the way, I smell a lie. With that, I think that's complete hogwash.
We'll get to that. But you forgot to give out the phone number?
No, I didn't even forget. I didn't even
yeah.
Bring. I have so ingrained now that our fans know the telephone number that I don't even think we need to do it.
Maybe they do.
We had quite a few calls. So, yeah, it's an unfair advantage.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the number, so I couldn't have done it anyways. It's like 844.
You hear me say that number over and over and over again.
770-3rd. Okay. I do remember it now that you say it.
It's on the video stream right in front of you, like it is all the time.
Now you're cheating. Yeah, but Jason, you'll have to go back to Wisconsin On Demand. I somehow utilized the best prop in our trivia history. Jesse, is that a fair assessment?
No prop has been better utilized in Wildy and Tausch trivia than the prop Tausch brought to the table. Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Perfect. All right.
You can find that on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, what I use, which is Spotify, where I also listen to the Tortured Poets Department. All right, so Goody spent about a half hour talking with us. I struggled early to get my question in. I got to be honest. It took me a while. I walked in at 9:58. He'd already started, which was less than ideal, and everybody
Lombardi.
Turns and looks
Very
at
Lombardi-esque.
You. Yeah, it's not a good feeling. Everybody's like this, which was less than ideal. But
you, good thing you don't love attention.
I don't. Not under that.
Oh, get out of here!
Sure. I don't.
Okay. You love
that as
get out of here. Yeah.
Okay.
Jesse, does Jason love attention, or am I crazy? I don't know. Jason's really good. I don't want to make Jason upset.
I'm afraid
Continue.
Of him.
I don't even know why I asked the question.
Depends on the
I'm
type
going
of
against
attention,
an alliance.
Tausch. Depends on the type of attention.
Going against an alliance of two, and I'm handling it well. All right, what do you got, Jess?
Yes, you are. All right, so let's do the first thing that you mentioned that I didn't know you had heard, and that is him claiming that he's starting with 11, and even though they've got this young team with a bunch of guys – that you might argue you don't have room for another 11 draft picks plus undrafted free agent class. He actually said he wants more picks, and you smell a lie.
I do. Yeah, I think he obviously every general manager you ever know wants to have a ton of picks, right? They want to have as many cracks at it so you can hit
swings at the
on
place.
A Donald Driver or a Josh Sitton or, you know, you can hit on anybody, right? So in this regard, I understand why he's saying it, but he knows that he crushed last year's draft and that these cats need to improve. You want to keep bringing competition into your room, but he knows there's only 53 spots. Now there's another 16 to 20 on the practice squad that you want. So you can never have enough good football players in your building, which is fair, but I think Goody knows he wants to be surgical. He is going to really look, and he is going to dig, and if there's guys that he knows can contribute in a big way at spots that he knows they need to improve, he will give up picks to go and get that player. Whereas last year, I don't think he would have done that as willingly.
So he did accumulate extra picks. I talked about it before I went to the press conference. It did, in fact, become a question that I had for him about the Jaden Reed piece, which his answer I found really interesting, so we'll get to that. It also told me that there is no way, not that I needed to know this or I needed further confirmation, I could never be an NFL GM. Because he talked very clearly about the importance of not having an emotional connection to a player that you really like. We all have favorites, but you can't allow that to affect your assessment on the board. And so he basically said, if Jaden Reed had gone during those two picks after he traded back in the second round, but we would have picked somebody else, which is kind of crazy to think about when the guy ended up being your leading receiver and looks like he's going to be a dude for you for a long time. We'll get to that clip. We'll also get to the part about buttering him up and the tooting your own horn. Did not call him the Gutenator. But what he said as I was walking in or just after I walked in about subterfuge, he was talking about it with some of the visits that Ted taught them to use subterfuge. When he talks about wanting to accumulate picks,
am
you
I crazy
think
that's to think,
subterfuge?
I do. But am I crazy to think that of all people, don't you think Ted Thompson would have been a great spy?
Yes.
Like an undercover. He, you know how Julia
Great poker
Childs,
player, I think, too, I was told.
Julia Childs was, I believe, she did some things, right? Again, that was part of the movie.
Not the
that
same
she
stuff
had.
As not the same stuff as Gina Della, who's been doing,
some things.
I don't know what, no. I think Ted would have been a great spy. You know, he's loyal. Yeah.
Hard to read.
I think he would have been something. And this whole idea of you hear subterfuge, you think spy, right? That's what you
think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're always trying to keep focused with what you're doing, but you also want to put out to the Schefters and the Raps and the, you know, the Jesse Nelsons, the people that are out here moving and shaking.
What?
Mm-hmm. You want information to get out that you think will maybe get somebody off the trail of somebody you really like. And that's what Goody's saying that Ted did. And all general managers, honesty is not always the best policy when it comes to draft day prep, when it comes to the general manager position.
So the thing that I want to get to, though, in addition to my question that I want to, I know Strofe was nice enough to clip that. I know I have a few others that I want to get to. But the most interesting thing I heard, not even close, is this idea, and you can call it subterfuge, or maybe he's not telling the truth on this either, and I'm just a sucker for it. But with 5 picks in the first 91, he talked about how if you're going to go up and use one of those day 2 picks to move up, it had better be a guy that is a game changer, a field tilter. He didn't use those terms, but that was the message. So if they think, for example, that Cooper DeJean is that guy, then maybe he's willing to use 41 or 58 or 88 or 91, those other 4 day 2 picks, 2 seconds, 2/3, to go up. I think it's going to be really interesting because you talk about the subterfuge of saying you want 13 or 14 picks. I'm not sure I buy that either. But what I did find convincing is that he has the belief that if you have 5 picks of the first 100, which is what they have, you could get 5 of your 50 highest rated players. Because other teams have different boards and they think differently of different guys. And there's other teams that are going to make mistakes that you might not make mistakes like that. So he thinks if you can get 5 of your top 50 graded players, he sure sounded like a guy who does not want to give up any of those day 2 picks in order to move up for a specific player. He sure talked a lot about building your board and trusting your board. And I'm curious if you think that is subterfuge, so people don't think he's looking to go up, because to me, if he feels that strongly about the quality of player you get with those 5 picks, and he even said it, you can get, we've gotten good players 6th round, 7th round, undrafted free agents, but the likelihood of getting really good players out of those 5 is way higher than finding mm-hmm. the Tausches and the Drivers, et cetera, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Just listening to you describe this, of course you want to get 5 great players. But what that tells me is there's a lot of players in that realm that he really likes. But you also sense that there's going to be a lot of craziness because of the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And guys that he and their staff don't have valued. Obviously, quarterback is not going to be a position they're going to go early in because of Jordan Love. That makes a guy that is at 43 maybe fall to 50 or 55 because somebody reaches for Penix. Somebody reaches for J.J. McCarthy. And the thought process I would have if I'm Goody is if there's somebody that, you know, at a position, there's 2 guys that you feel really good about. And you can somehow sneak or steal from a team that you think is going to be Garbanzo, Washington, New England, that you can recalibrate and maybe get a 1st or 2nd next year, they might go ahead and do that too. So there's everything is on the table, but I am of the belief that Goody knows he's got a really good young roster, and you have to let those guys develop, that you don't need to hit with five of those out of the top 100, getting five. If you don't, and you don't have, especially with those 45th or 51st pick, trade out of it and try and accumulate another second for next year. That's what that tells me, that you're going to be very selective with your guys. And if they don't fit for the spot you're at, I think Green Bay can look at themselves as more of a mover for next year's draft and not necessarily use all 11, 13, whatever it ends up being this year, and look more into, like he did with the New Orleans Saints, or maybe that was Ted, with Davenport.
No, that was him in 18. That was Ted.
I think he loves that component and giving himself capital and still being able to get, because I think in a perfect world, if he gets three of his top 50 with those first five picks, he will be ecstatic if you get that. Can accumulate something in the future. That, to me, is where I think Goody's mind is, not accumulating a ton of picks.
What Tausch is referring to is in the 2018 draft, the Packers started at 14. They traded all the way back to 27. In exchange, they got the New Orleans Saints' 2019 first-round pick. Then they used one of their own picks to trade back up to get to 18 to take Jaire Alexander. So they manipulated their board. They had two first-round picks then in 19 as a result. They got Rashawn Gary at 12. And then they obviously took Darnell Savage with the second of their two first-round picks. We'll talk more about what Goody had to say. I want you to hear the question, because I like the fact that he chalks up last year's draft class having success to them having more opportunities than most draft classes. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is he nailed it. He nailed some really good players. And I asked him how sustainable that is. We'll hear how he answered that. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you. Hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing.
So can Goody sustain one great draft, which followed a really good draft, right? Like, I don't know if we can say yet that 2022 is as good as 23 was. And obviously there's other variables that go in. But 2022, I'm still not sure what Quay Walker is. I'm still not quite sure what Devontae Wyatt is. I know Zach Tom is a stud. I feel pretty good that Romeo Doubs' floor is to be a modern-day version of James Jones, who was a pretty darn good football player, even though he didn't go to a Pro Bowl. So I feel pretty good that the 2022 draft was good and that the 2023 draft can be over-the-top great if these guys continue with the way they started. What can 2024 be, and how hard is it to be able to do that again? I asked Goody that question. Here's how.
No, I was just going to say before we hear Goody, it's going to be incredibly difficult because there's not going to be the same amount of opportunities. And unlike last year, where basically every spot you had an opportunity, I would say that you're probably limited unless you are one of those 10 percenters. You're going to be limited to probably three, maybe four positions, unless there's an injury, to get that opportunity to show that you can do what half of that draft class of last year did.
Here's how Goody and I went back and forth on that earlier.
Going back to one of Ryan's earlier questions about the last couple of drafts, I know you're not a toot-your-own-horn guy, but Ron used to say if you can get three starters out of a draft, you've done a good job. And I know you said there were opportunities that maybe aren't there, but to do what you've done the last couple of drafts is really hard. Ron and Ted had drafts that weren't very good, and they were great at what they did. How hard is it to sustain that kind of momentum that you guys have been really rolling with the last few drafts?
Yeah, I think, I think it's every draft class is different, right? I mean, it's out of your control. There's some that are deeper than others, where you're picking and how things fall. You know, it's an interesting, in my time, I mean, the drafts is much different than it used to be. I think on average 1.6 players is re-signed from each draft class to a team. I mean, so it's not like it used to be where, you know, you'd have multiple guys. The way the salary cap is, you know, the guys you can pay, it's just much harder. So, what we're asking of these guys that we pick is to come in and be positive contributors to our football team. And again, the role that they're going to have is not completely in their control. You know, they got to be able to, like, you know, answer the opportunities that are given to them and try to create more opportunities. But where your football team sits and who's in front of them and those kind of things do impact their abilities. And certainly there was times, and I think in years past, where, you know, where maybe the last couple of years there was just a ton of opportunities for these guys to go seize, and credit to them, they did. And that was exciting to see. And I think that's what we're trying to create as we move forward, is just making sure that there's always going to be opportunities for guys to excel if they're worthy of it.
Tash, I'm curious what you thought of the entire answer, but the thing that jumped out at me when he said it was that on average throughout the NFL, 1.6 of the each draft, 1.6 of your picks out of each draft get re-signed to second contracts. So less than 2 on average from each class. If you're driven by draft and develop, the Packers obviously have to do much better than that, I would think, unless you're hitting home runs in every single draft.
Yeah, that number seems low to me, and that's partially because of how Green Bay approaches things. But also, you know, you can look back at, you know, every time I, you know, talk about Goody, I'll have Ned on Twitter tell me, well, 2020, you know, with you take Jordan Love out of that draft class, blech, right? And the year before.
Not wrong.
Blech. So, there, all this stuff kind of balances out. And by the way, with this home run draft class that I'm talking about from last year, you're not going to be able to keep probably more than half, because they're going to be super expensive if they continue on this trajectory. You'll have to pick. You'll have to figure out who will take what, you know, a dollar amount and all this other stuff. So the number 1.6 is low, but the bottom line is, if you don't get comp picks and you don't make any trades, you're going to get 7 picks. Half the guys can't play or can't play to the level you want, so there you're already down to 3.5, and then you factor in the economics of it, you split that in half, and you get to, you know, 1.4 to 1.7.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the average. Now, if you want to be great, you got to keep hitting on these, because you need to continue to replenish those top-end guys that leave and get old with young, cheap talent. And then that cycle continues. It's the groups that let you get too old and the bottom drops out, which is, by the way, what we thought was going to happen last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gutenator put his cape on and said, not today. I'm going to fly in. I'm going to get you 8 to 9 quality starters on the low level, and I'll save the day with my draft. And what did the Gutenator with his cape with the big G on the back say? Hopefully, old boy with the that does all the meme work for us can do that.
That's
Jason. That's what happened. You don't have to like it.
No, this group, you're right.
We had bottomed out, and this was supposed to be, whether everybody wanted to admit it, last year was a total and utter rebuild. But old boy, with the cape and the G, flew in and said, I'm going to get you Wicks. I'm going to get you 2 tight ends that can play. I'm going to get, from the draft class before, some quality starters on the O-line. And the Gutenator saved the day. That's what happened.
My issue with that is not that he saved the day. My issue in that was, I didn't realize the Gutenator had a cape. Like,
I didn't either.
The Terminator.
I didn't either until we went and beat up the Kansas City Chiefs.
And
we hammered the Detroit Lions. No. Superheroes have capes. Super drafters, which is what Goody did last year. Now, years before, he's just ordinary old Joe. you know, old Clark Kent without the glasses.
Clark third round Kent.
And
he got jammed in a phone booth and couldn't get out. That was 2019. He wasn't wearing no cape.
Last year, Cape City, USA.
Last year was Cape City, USA.
For those of you who are curious, the 2018 draft, the only one who's left on the roster is Jair Alexander. The 2019 draft, the only guys that are left on that on the roster are Rashawn Gary and Elgton Jenkins. The 2020
draft. Really good players, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt. Ned. No doubt.
Hey, Ned. Two pretty good players.
The 2020 draft, Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon, that weird fourth-year player option thing. The rest of that draft, Josiah DeGuara, Kamal Martin, John Ryan, who was a good player for them, Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, and Vernon Scott and Jonathan Garman. So I guess it's true. I'll say this. I guess he's right,
if you get statistically. If you get a starting quarterback that has the potential Jordan Love has, that goes from stuck in a phone booth to, okay, at least I don't know if I got a cape on, but I got some tights. I'm wearing tights.
Judy doesn't strike me as a tights guy.
Why not?
It's more of a Lululemon vest guy, I think. I think he's picked that up from his coach.
My issue is I don't think the G for Gutenader is on the cape. I think the G is on the front, like Superman's S is on the front of like the chest. I think that's where he's got to don the G.
Well, what about the Packers G?
Well, that's the G. That's the G that's on the front, but it stands for both the Green Bay Packers and for the Gutenader.
I can't wait for whoever is our meme guy, who's been great.
Greg.
To come up with a flying Gutenader with the big G on the back, because when you're flying, your chest is down. You're not seeing what's on the front. It's got to be the back.
I am searching for some Packers superhero imagery. I will get to work on that during the commercial break. Want to remind you.
Oh, no, I think Sean. I think Sean is our guy,
it's,
right?
It's Greg who makes the...
Greg!
He takes your face and puts it on various other characters. This is next level. This is a pretty big ask.
It's a huge ask. Putting
together the Plubinator plan that you once had. We'll work on that. I want to get to a few of the other things that Goody had to say. Want to remind you, cape or no cape, Gutenader or no Gutenader, Associated Bank has been with the Packers from the very beginning, since 1919. In fact, they go even back further than that. But you know that they are the official bank of the Packers, and you know that you get great customer service when you bank with them. So if you haven't made the switch, make it now, especially if you're a Packers fan. There's no better place to be with your 10% off the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online, plus the great customer service and your Packers debit MasterCard. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more. More from the Gutenader and his cape next. It's Will Dean Tapp.